Chapter 3. 3 months old. I awoke from the nicest nap on the front seat of the RV. I wasn't sure what it meant, but I was now 3 months old, they say. Here I was, living with these hippie kids and this blind dog. I've been with the babes and Ruka now for a whole month. I'm still a kid, according to Ruka. I've learned that me and Ruka's job is to play as much as possible. Bark at anyone who comes to the big metal gate and then get back to playing. There's been a few times where someone came past the gate that opens to our space. Ruka would bark and run in that direction when she heard them, so I barked and followed her. Soon, I understood. If anyone is by the gate outside, we bark and let them know we are here trying to bite them through the fence and punch it with our paws, letting them know they are not welcome. I mean, that's what Ruka seems to be doing as I bark behind her. "Damn, Ruka, you're brave," I told her. "Bad energy is bad energy," she said, barking after chasing someone away from the gate. Ruka was a good teacher. I was walking around with more confidence these days than when I first got here. Deluxe would walk me outside the fence and get a lot of attention with the two of us on leashes. The police came over one day to our gate while the babes were painting some art they thought they could try and sell later on the road. The police offered to buy me from the babes, but they said no and closed the gate on them. Even though I still wasn't listening very well, wouldn't play with the babes, or bring the ball back like Ruka did, they turned down the offer of $500 cash for me on the spot. "They probably robbed some drug dealer and that was their money," Tess said. Ruka truly was blind as a bat. When we played, I could easily get away from her, running in circles around her, zigging and zagging. If I got too close, she'd let me know she was the boss and read my moves before I made them and grabbed a hold of me. My moves were still like a puppy and all sloppy, but I was soaking up her strategy with every lunge she made towards me. I would like to say I had stopped with my random turd droppings inside the warehouse, but something inside me just made me do it. Last night I shat on the green carpet that sat under the rock band's equipment. The babes were worried because after they cleaned it up, it still looked like I shat there. The babes moved the band's speakers to cover the new stain I left, but when the band came to practice, they moved their speaker and discovered the poo stain. I was trying my best to go outside, but as a dog, we have instincts that sometimes can't be explained, and I think I actually wanted to poo on their stage grass. Their music was terrible. They were good at being terrible. I did like the drummer's insane style, but the other two guys just yelled into the mics while playing the guitar. Deluxe had all of his DJ gear set up inside the warehouse on the main stage that was raised up. He was able to connect to the speakers that their friend's band would use. He was always taking breaks between working on the RV to practice his mixing and the music would be thumping. Rob's band would come to practice and Deluxe would DJ with them at times, scratching his hip-hop music with their soulful, trippy live sounds. Their sound was mellow compared to the metal band. When the babes were not taking breaks with Rob and his band, they were pounding away on the RV or walking several blocks away to a hardware store that was selling them all of their supplies. The babes would walk back with huge sheets of plywood and 2x4s balanced on their heads. Deluxe carried a huge power converter back with him one day that they ordered from the hardware store. The sun was setting and the air was not as humid as it could be, so the babes took us with them. "Babe, look at that construction site with all that wood. We should just take a few of their pieces. It's not like we need a lot." "You think so? Right now or come back later?" Tess asked. "Ha ha ha, I'm just kidding. But glad to know you're willing, and I could see you instantly thought of a plan, didn't you?" "Aw, yeah, we could easily get that shit. It's cheaper than the hardware store. I feel like they're raping us." "True that. This fucking thing was expensive, and it's heavy," Deluxe said, putting it down and taking a break. "You want me to carry it?" Tess asked. "No, I got it. I just need to turn it. One side is heavier than the other." When they returned from the hardware store, they were usually too tired to work after that, but today, they walked over to the corner store to get other supplies they needed. At the corner store, they would get chips and a drink plus 4 small bags of herbs they liked to smoke when they were taking their work breaks. We walked to that store almost daily with the babes. One day we walked to the corner store and a boy was on a bicycle who came racing past us super close, startling us. "What the heck was that?" Ruka asked me. "Some little kid on a bike who just came to a stop," I answered. "Hey, what are you doing here?" the kid asked Deluxe. "We're walking to the store to get some snacks. What are you doing here?" "When I tell my daddy some white folks are here, he's going to shoot you."
"Really?" Deluxe said, shocked.
"Tell him we live right over there," Deluxe said to the child who was reaching for something in his waistband.
Deluxe picked up on the actions of the child and held us back, including Tess. The little boy turned around and threw a full pack of fireworks at us. There was popping and explosions going crazy all around.
Ruka!
I bit and snapped at the fireworks exploding in the air around us. It gave me flashbacks of the military. I wanted to run and bite that kid who just threw firecrackers at us, but Deluxe held me back. Senior Chief would have let me get him. Those noises led to injury or death, I remembered. I hate fireworks. We made it to the corner store, and this time the babes met the owner of the store. The babes were buying a lot of herbs from her, so she wanted to meet the babes. When she did, she was very afraid of me and Ruka. Both Ruka and I behaved ourselves in her establishment by just laying on the floor. I found the floor to be the coolest spot in the hot afternoon after walking all the way to the store. The babes got their herbs and we walked home with no more little brats and the dads ready to mess with us. Ruka was right. This is a tough neighborhood. Life in the warehouse was nothing but fun 99% of the time. One night after dinner, I was playing with Ruka and running around inside the warehouse trying to get away from her as she tried to bite my legs. I ran into the bathroom the babes used to hide. It was full of small trinkets from the 80s and 90s glued to every inch of every wall. Sniffing around, I found a small ball that was a bit loose on the lower part of the wall. Ruka recently broke her ball with her strong jaw, so I figured I would bring her this one to play with. The ball was sorta attached to the wall, but I was easily able to get it off with a simple tug. As I turned around, excited to bring Ruka the ball went to the back of my mouth. I tried to push it forward with my tongue, but it slipped deeper into my throat, and then I swallowed it. I ran over to Ruka, and she started to wrestle with me. Ruka, I have something for you, but I swallowed it, I told her as she gently bit my back leg and lifted my rear end in the air. Oh yeah? You're always eating everything of mine, aren't you? My bone, my cone, my corner of my pillow, which the babes still haven't seen yet, she attacked me playfully, sounding like a jungle tiger. The babes finished cleaning up the kitchen and sat on the floor to watch Ruka and I play. It took Deluxe less than a few seconds after sitting down to think something was wrong with me. I didn't want to get in trouble for taking the ball, but I was fine where it was. I remember tearing up and swallowing some of Big Man's things when I was back with Mom, and he didn't like that one bit. What if the babes really like this ball, I wondered. I jumped back on top of Ruka playing rough with her. Babe, something's wrong with Buddha. Look at him. He's choking, Deluxe said in a panic. What do you mean? He's fine. He's not choking. They're playing, she replied. I was fine besides the small ball in me. Did Deluxe know? Ruka grabbed me and put me on my back. You okay, kid? Ruka asked, biting my ear. Yeah, I'm fine. I mean, I have a small ball inside of me, but I'm fine. I got up and jumped at her and tried to tackle her back. No, babe, for real, something's wrong with Buddha, Deluxe said in a panic again and grabbed me. Babe, he's playing. He's fine. Look at him, she said. Deluxe held me. I could feel he was very concerned for me, but how did he know? I showed no signs of anything being wrong. He looked into my eyes and I looked back into his. I could see he was just as confused as I was as I breathed heavily into his face. I was hiding the fact that I had just swallowed a ball pretty well, so he put me down. What the fuck? I swear I saw him choking on something. I'm losing my mind, Deluxe said, confused. I'll try to help you get the ball out, Ruka said, putting her leg on my chest, pushing on me. Babe, for real, I just saw Buddha choking in my mind or something, but look, in reality, he's fine. Fuck, am I going crazy? Deluxe sat there baffled. I'm so confused. What I just saw felt so real, he said. Deluxe paused. He realized looking at me, I was actually fine. I wasn't choking. I was playing with Ruka. What the fuck? He asked as Ruka pushed me down again. I growled and jumped on top of her after escaping her grip. Relax, babe. He's fine. Look at him play, Tess said, touching his arm, trying to calm him down. Ruka and I continued to wrestle on the green carpet. For a monster of a dog, you sure are gentle, Ruka, I whispered in her ear as I bit onto it. Gentle, huh? Ruka said in a growl back to me. Ruka threw a solid paw to my belly, then suddenly I couldn't breathe. How gentle was that? Her paw hitting my belly pushed the ball up a bit into my throat, but now it was stuck in my throat and I couldn't breathe. I sat down and opened my mouth. Nothing. I pushed with my lungs. Nothing. I shook my head around and nothing. I let out a faint noise Deluxe was able to hear. Buddha! He yelled out, grabbing my mouth with one hand and sticking his fingers down my throat with the other, pulling the ball out. I don't think he even thought about it. He knew I was choking before I was choking and he responded perfectly. Tess sat there in disbelief. Babe, how did you know he was choking or going to choke before he was choking?
I don't know. I just saw it like a movie in my head as we sat down next to him, and then that shit happened exactly as I saw it. I've no idea. I'm still confused.
Deluxe sat there holding me, questioning what had just happened. Ruka, can Deluxe see the future? I asked.
I don't know about seeing the future, but Deluxe sees something. I'm blind, so I don't know what it is, but he's watching something or something's watching him, Ruka said.
Well, there's your ball, I told her.
I was confused how Deluxe saw the future. I think we all were, but I didn't care at the moment. I had discovered that playing with Ruka was a lot of fun and I wanted more of it.
Deluxe got up and threw the ball in the trash. I got up and jumped back on top of Ruka, who was already lying on her back waiting for me to get her.
Life in the hands of the babes was easy. Eat, play, sleep, drink, find shade, play some more, eat, play some more, and then sleep again.
While the babes' hands were busy building the RV with a power drill and an old-school handsaw, Ruka and I would trade off chewing up a city cone that Deluxe brought home from the walk to the corner store. I loved our walks outside of the warehouse walls. I would pull Deluxe around on a lowrider bicycle he found in the warehouse. If any of the crackheads on the street saw us, they would cross to the other side of the street and not make eye contact, yet still keep an eye on us. The crackheads around the area had dark souls, all except one. Deluxe would let him stay outside the gate, and that crackhead would tell the other crackheads to stay away. It was a good thought, being friends with a crackhead, but it didn't work out long. While we were all away on a walk to the hardware store, someone broke in and stole an exhaust fan the babes had bought for the RV.
Fuck! If this happens while you're here, bite these fools, Deluxe told me once they found out what was missing and who most likely took it.
I just wanted to play with Ruka. The babes worked every morning on the RV and took a break when it got hot, which was usually right after breakfast. Deluxe would try to get me to play with him while he was outside with us, but I didn't care to run in the sun or fetch a ball. He figured out quick I don't like the sun, so he tried the fetch game inside the warehouse, and I still didn't bother to try. There was more to me than just playing games, I felt. Unless Ruka was involved, I'm here to save, not play games. If Deluxe bounced the ball when he threw it, Ruka would find it just by its sound and smell, and then she'd rush it back to him and drop the ball off at his feet. Ruka, why do you play this game with Deluxe?
Why not? What else are we going to do?
I couldn't see the reasoning behind fetch at all. When nobody was around to watch, I began to make sounds that left the babes questioning what was falling in the warehouse. I was getting bigger, and to be honest, my body grew faster than what my mind knew what to do with. I struggled to lay down smoothly, Ruka would tell me. I had no style or grace for a dog named Buddha. I would lay down far away from everyone once I was over my fears of the warehouse. I would do my typical three spins in a circle, sniff out just the right spot in that circle, then flop myself down onto that spot. My hips were big and clunky. They didn't allow me much grace in my movements, and my body would make a doof noise when hitting the floor. Because I didn't care to hang out close to the babes, I did my doofing off in the warehouse by myself. The babes would always ask what the noise was, but they never saw it was me. They just stuck to their cutting sheets of plywood with a handsaw or their constant pool game breaks. We no longer had to go to the corner store. The corner store lady was coming to us now. She brought her brother with her, who was a huge guy. Ruka and I could feel they were both very afraid of us as we walked around our open lot.
You feel that, Ruka?
Yeah, I feel it.
What should we do?
Let's stay chill, and if anything pops off, just be ready. Deluxe told us to hang back in the RV, putting us in there and shutting the door so we couldn't get out and keep the fear level of the guests on max. Us locked in the RV made the store lady and her brother a bit calmer. I noticed while in the RV, if you just breathed on the side door handle, the door would easily open. I breathed, and just like that, the door opened.
Come on, Ruka, let's go,
I shouted as I ran out.
You know, for not liking to hang out with the babes, you sure like to cause a lot of trouble to be around them.
Who said I want to hang out with them?
Outside is way better than the RV. We're in here all night. Let's go, I shouted in excitement.
We both jumped out and made our way into the warehouse where the babes were playing pool with the corner store lady and her brother. The guests were scared to see us out, but after a bit of coaxing from both the babes, we were allowed to stay and hang out around them, as long as we didn't bother them. Ruka and I were on our best behavior, even though I just broke us out of the RV.
Look at that, Buddha. You got us out of the RV and hanging out with the babes. Maybe your mission is to be with the babes.
I did my typical three-spin move, hit the deck, and let out a deep breath.
Doof.
I don't know, Ruka. I just wanted to be outside. It was hot that day, and I was excited to lay down on the cool concrete floor inside the warehouse. It was always the coolest place to lay down.
Buddha, what the heck, man? You okay?
Deluxe asked, walking over from the pool table.
What happened? Tess wondered.
I wondered, too, as I looked at them. I was fine. Ruka, what's going on with the babes? I asked as they approached me.
I think they're concerned.
Concerned for what?
Buddha, you okay, buddy? Deluxe asked as Tess walked up from behind.
What'd I do? I asked the deaf human ears as my legs started to raise.
He's gonna pee. Let's just leave him.
Babe, he's making that doof noise we've been hearing. It's his head and body hitting the concrete, Deluxe said in disbelief and concern.
Buddha, this noise is you. Can you lay down a little softer? Tess asked.
We've been hearing that doof noise for a long time now. If it's been his head this whole time, jeez, he's gonna have brain damage, Deluxe said to our guest.
Buddha, you gotta be careful, buddy. There's only so many hits to the head one can take before you don't come back to your normal self, Deluxe said, petting my head.
What did he mean by that? I asked Ruka.
It means you're gonna be dumb if you keep whacking your head on the floor like that.
Ah, I was hit harder by Big Man. This concrete floor doesn't faze me, I said, stretching out.
After a few games of pool and a large exchange of herbs, the guests left the babes to their afternoon, which consisted mostly of smoking the herbs while painting pictures and getting messy. I didn't like their smoke. Before his test came around, Deluxe never smoked weed at all.
I love when he does, Ruka told me.
Really? Why do you like weed so much, Ruka?
It helps me cope with not being able to see like I used to. I now see all kinds of things that make no sense in my mind compared to what I used to remember. The herb smoke helps calm it all down so I can get some real rest. When Deluxe blows smoke around me, I try to inhale as much as I can.
Yeah, I see that. I don't like it.
It's not for everyone, Buddha, Ruka told me.
Tess finally got a modeling gig so they could help pay for all the work they've been doing on the RV. She left us the entire day and she didn't return until later that evening. When she arrived back home, her hair was bright red when her hair is usually soft blonde.
She was upset. We've never seen Tess upset like this.
Ah, how am I gonna work again now? They cut my hair so short, and now it's fucking red and burnt. Ah, these fucking idiots.
Aw, babe, Deluxe said, trying to help.
They first dyed my hair white, took some photos, then turned me this fucking red color and took other photos.
I let out a bark because I didn't like to hear Tess angry.
For a couple grand, I'm left like this,
Tess questioned angrily, looking into the mirror that was bent against the wall, making everything look short and fat when you looked into it.
I want you to cut my hair, she turned and said to Deluxe.
What?
Yes, right now, cut my hair.
I've never cut hair before.
After what I see on my head, you can't fuck it up. I trust you.
Babe, look at my head. I can fuck it up. You shouldn't trust me.
I looked at Deluxe. He had a hairline like an M when he did have hair, so I could see why he shaved his head. I looked at both Tess and Deluxe's head. It was hard to compare Tess's head shape with her thick hair that stuck out like an afro. I imagined them both bald like Deluxe and I laughed going to find Ruka. Deluxe grabbed a pair of scissors and went to work cutting off chunks of hair. When he was finished, Tess still looked the same.
I bet he's too timid to cut too much off at once, Ruka told me.
Tess grabbed the scissors from Deluxe and cut off some more hair as to how she wanted it, and then Deluxe did some finishing touches just because.
It looks like Tess has a helmet for hair now, I told Ruka.
Ugh, this is bullshit, Tess let out, looking in the mirror.
I could see and feel Deluxe's energy chain when Tess was upset. He became on guard or hyper-aware when Tess was raising her voice and shouting about her hair. I wonder why he changed like that. 3 months passed at the warehouse, and after a lot of pounding, cutting, drilling, sealing, running wires, fixing water lines, pumps, installing a converter, and making sure all the inside and outside lights worked, the babes had this RV looking good. Ruka said I was doing good too now by listening and paying a bit more attention to the world around me without being such an idiot. The babes took me to the doctor to fix a hole in my belly and to stop the fat from pushing out. I was in pain after surgery, but I felt so much better with it fixed. Nobody told me they'd be taking my balls at the same time they were doing the surgery, though. I was so disappointed as I fought with the plastic cone they stuck around my neck. I felt I was becoming a beast of a dog when someone told Deluxe a rumor that taking my balls would calm me down a bit. So, I was going to make sure I did the opposite. I decided I wasn't going to fetch. I was not going to calm down. I was not going to come when called, and I would not sit. I'd go into the RV, but that's about it.
For 2 weeks, I had to run around with a stupid lampshade on my head, making everything difficult. I would hit everything I walked past, even when I felt I was far enough away from it all. The cone made more noise than I did, yet I could not be trusted with it off. I would instantly go for my balls that were no longer there. Ruka, you know what it's like to have to scratch your balls when you can't because A, they're not there, and B, you have to wear this stupid cone? I don't have balls, Buddha, so I have no idea. The babes decided to change my name to Doofus because of the noise I made when laying down. Apparently, it was a perfect doof noise, according to Deluxe. What could I do? I was getting bigger, and the lampshade thing I had to wear didn't help. Once my surgery healed and the lampshade came off, the babes took Ruka and me to a fancy art fair in the neighborhood. Tess seemed a bit off this night. I was not sure if she was still upset about her hair or if it was something else that was making her feel sick in her belly. Some guy at the event came up to us and said, looking at the size of my paws and nose, I would grow up to be a small dog. He then offered to buy me from the babes, and the babes both told him to fuck off. Usually the babes were nice. Something was up with them tonight, but I couldn't put a paw on it. Our warehouse was in the middle of a rundown industrial neighborhood full of crackheads who lined up outside of an empty lot with an old freezer coolers on their side. They were there to get something injected into their butts on Father's Day. The babes videotaped the whole thing from inside our fence. Who's providing the drugs so 30 guys can all get injected for free? Deluxe asked. They're using the same needle over and over again with every person. Look at the line down the street. How do they all know to come here? Ruka and I sat next to the babes looking out the hole in the fence at the activities across the street. It's a big evil world out here, Buddha, or Doofus as they want to call you now, Ruka told me, biting my leg. As dogs, it's our job to keep our people safe while making the world a better place. How are we going to do that? I asked. You know, the name Doofus might actually fit you, she told me, rolling me over. After several months of living at the warehouse, I was fitting into my new role well, I felt. We woke up early and started playing around the RV after cacas. I had finally learned to poo in the rocky grass, but I would only do it on the edge where the concrete and grass met, and I would do it in a long line, not a pile like Ruka. Why I would walk and poo confused Deluxe. One hot afternoon while the babes were painting more pictures instead of fixing the RV, Rob came to the warehouse to practice his drumming a bit. He asked the babes if they wanted to test me for protection, seeing I was bigger and the cone was off my neck. The babes said yes. I was confused. I didn't think I liked tests, and I already barked at the gate before Ruka noticed anything, so I felt I was making progress. This is more like a pop quiz, Doofus, not a test, Ruka told me. What should I do? Do what comes naturally, Ruka said as she was called towards the RV. Deluxe tied me up to a trailer that happened to be in the middle of the parking lot that day. Make sure he's good and secure. I don't want him getting loose and attacking me, Rob said. Attack Rob? Why would I do that? I like Rob. I think I like Rob. He's always been a nice guy, and he too had a Rottweiler, so I wanted to show him respect, always. I don't want to attack him. Next thing I know, I was alone. Where did everybody go? While I was getting overwhelmed by the heat and thinking about Rob, I realized I was alone out there and tied up. I tried to walk toward the RV, but I couldn't reach because of the chain around my neck, so I went under the trailer in the shade and laid down. I really need to work on paying attention to the moment, in the moment, I thought out loud to an empty lot. As I decided to take a doggy nap under the shade of the trailer, the door to the warehouse opened. I popped my head up instantly and looked. Who did that? A growl naturally came out of me. I didn't see anyone, but I heard the door open. Now that the door was open, I could see it. Hey! I heard from the door in a dirty voice. I crawled out of the trailer to see what was going on and walked to the end of my chain in the hot sun until I could not walk anymore. I pulled, but the chain was tight. I was not scared like I usually was, and the sun was not a bother. This noise from the door was. I looked around and saw nothing, and the door shut itself. I thought that was weird, but there was nothing I could do, so I went back under the trailer when the door opened again and a man yelled. I instantly crawled back out to see what was going on. I ran to the end of my chain growling, then getting stopped by the length of the chain. It looked like it was Rob who ran back into the warehouse. What the heck is going on? What kind of test was this, to see if Rob is crazy? Because he sure is acting crazy if that was him. It was hot in the sun, so I went back under the trailer again, wondering where the babes went. My memory sucked. Mental note, pay attention to things. Maybe the babes were right. They called me Doofus now because of the noise I made when I laid down. Maybe hitting my head was affecting the way I think. I don't know. But the door to the warehouse swung open again, and some guy looking like Rob, who had a big stick in his hand, was yelling and hitting the ground. I ran out from under the trailer all the way to the end of my chain, barking and growling. I ran so fast when I got to the end of the chain, the stop spun me around 180 degrees. I found my bearings and kept at him. The man kept hitting the ground while I instinctively kept trying to attack him, barking and spitting. The man gave up and went inside. "Okay, holy shit, that's good," Rob yelled back and went back into the warehouse and shut the door. The babes came out of the RV with Ruka. "Holy shit, kid, that was nuts. You got the job for sure," Ruka said to me in confidence, licking my face. The babes untied me from the trailer and told me, "Great job," with their voices and their hands. Their attention felt nice, but again, something felt off. The energy I was feeling from them was different. I was not sure if it was because this was the first time I got aggressive towards something and I was not punished for it, or what I was feeling. "Wow, kid, that sounded as scary gets. I'd say you found your voice there, and if you build off of that, you're going to be something nobody wants to mess with," Ruka said. I thought about her words. Was that why I was here? To be something not to mess with? I was free to roam around all I wanted, but I stayed close to the RV that was still parked outside, getting ready to be moved inside where they could seal the roof and it would have a chance to dry without getting wet. The babes were putting a lot of work into this thing. They were trying to put work into me as well with "Doofus come, Doofus sit, Doofus wait." All I heard was "Doofus," so I would go and lay down. That was my doof, remember? "He'll play with Ruka, but not us," Deluxe said, disappointed. "At least we know he'll protect the RV," Tess said, supporting me. The babes would work all day and be wet with sweat while Ruka and I hid under the RV where it was always a bit cooler. Today, a video production crew showed up to film two couples have sex on motorcycles. The babes were excited to watch their first porn shoot, but then got mad because the actors used the babes' towels to dye their hair blue. The blue hair actor didn't bring the right shoes, so he had to rent the boots off of one of the old guys who brought in the custom chopper motorcycle. I walked into a scene they were shooting by accident looking for Ruka. The camera guy didn't mind, and they kept rolling and fucking as I passed by. I walked past the bootless old man, and he was chewing on a backwoods cigar and swallowing the juices. He smelled harmless, yet terrible at the same time. His socks had holes in them, and his toes were hanging out. He ended up renting his boots for $60 to the actor who dyed his hair blue. The sex actor took the boots and went barefoot into them. If there was a time for socks or a foot condom, this was it, I thought. But the actor was a raw dog kind of guy from the looks of it. After walking into the scene, Ruka and I watched all the sex go down from the comfort of our RV that was now parked inside the warehouse. Life as a dog is all about waiting. We waited for something to do, or we just did things without really thinking ahead too much. A week later, there was another video shoot with naked people walking around. Only this time, they were shooting a condom commercial for some popular sex magazine. Funny how the week before they had sex without condoms and now they're doing an ad for them. Trashy to classy. Again, Ruka and I were in the RV, only this time, the babes joined us. The babes were excited to see if a ghost they once saw while playing pool was going to appear during the commercial from the same fake wall that was now being used to make their fake room while they were having fake sex. The other night, the babes were playing pool when all of a sudden some man appeared at the top of one of the fake walls. "Doofus, you feel that?" Ruka asked me. "Feel what? Whoa, holy shit, yes! I feel it and I can see him! Bark!" Tess screamed out while Deluxe was sitting on the couch looking up at a man in black coming out of a wall 12 feet up in the air. The ghost man looked real to me. What was he doing up in a wall, though? The ghost man was dressed in black and looked confused when he appeared, like he took a wrong turn or something as he looked right at us. Deluxe was on the couch looking right into the man's eyes, who was wearing a black hat like Zorro and staring back at him. "What the fuck? You see that?" Deluxe asked as a man turned and disappeared back into the wall. "What's going on, Doofus? Tell me what you see, because I felt something strong enter the room and it just left. Whatever or whoever it was carried a lot of energy." "Was that Zorro who just appeared at the top of the wall?" Deluxe asked Tess, confused and laughing at the situation. "I saw him too. He had on the Zorro hat and cape," Tess said, confused. "Yeah, I saw the cape as he turned around and went back into the wall. He looked pissed off," Deluxe said. "It looked like he saw us," Tess added, still looking at the upper wall section. "Yo, we really both just saw the same ghost?" How is that even real? Deluxe questioned.
The dogs even barked before it showed up, Tess added.
What the fuck was that? Deluxe asked, getting up and looking behind the wall, confused.
Ruka, I saw what the babe saw. There was a man dressed in black who just popped out of the divider wall.
Well, if y'all saw the same thing and you and I felt something, it was something.
What exactly? I don't know.
We were all in that moment together, confused. After a thorough check of the wall, the babes went back to their pool game thinking about how Zorro showed up unannounced. The condom commercial came to an end and no ghosts came out of the walls, but the actor came when they needed him to. We all took a nap in the RV while the commercial was filming, and when we awoke, everyone was pretty much gone but a few workers the owner of the warehouse hired to clean up. The owner was a big guy named Judd who rarely visited, but when he did, he got straight to the point.
How much longer are you kids going to be here?
Judd asked the babes.
We would like to put a last bit of roof sealer on and let it dry inside the warehouse. Our plan is to be on the road before July,
Tess told Judd.
It was the first week of June, according to our calendar. This meant something, I thought. It felt like a change was coming.
Deluxe and Tess left us behind at the warehouse one day, and when they came back, they were excited. They wrote on their calendar that they got proper insurance and registration for the RV, making it 100% legal now. The babes wrote everything they did on that calendar. When they got me, when I got my shots, my belly surgery that also took my balls, a reminder that the babes could not be trusted, I thought. Everything was on that calendar. Too bad I couldn't read, so I just have to remember not to trust the babes after taking my balls.
Ruka, Doofus, RV, Deluxe shouted. We had the RV command down. I'd kind of sit. I never stayed. And bringing the ball back was still a hard no. But RV, that meant inside the box on wheels and not much else. The RV looked nice inside now. It was very different now than when I first arrived here. No windows, the walls dangling down from the side, an absolute mess with a hole in the back floor and wall. 2 months later, we had a sealed art box that moved on wheels with a DJ booth. Under the countertop on one side of the RV hid all of Deluxe's DJ equipment. The U-shaped couch in the back stored all of his vinyl records. A separate compartment was built for all of their artwork and paint supplies. The babes each had their own small closets. There was a fully working bathroom and a kitchen with a cooler that acted like a fridge. We had running water, lights, and an exhaust fan in the roof that Tess made a cover for in case it rained.
Doofus, get down, Deluxe said, pointing to the back of the RV as I was sitting on my front seat.
The driver's seat is my spot, but I can share, I said, jumping out of the seat. I felt like that seat was my spot after sleeping in it night after night.
Deluxe sat in the driver's seat and turned the key. The motor started up, no problem, and the babes were extremely excited.
They didn't seem so confident it would start, did they, Ruka? The RV sat here for over 3 months, never being started. I'd say we're hearing a miracle right now, Doofus.
Deluxe drove the RV out of the warehouse and then out of the lot onto the main road. Tess closed the gate and jumped inside the RV to the passenger seat.
Doofus, get down, Tess said, pushing me out of the passenger seat. I don't get any seats.
I jumped over Ruka and slid on the smooth laminated floor. I turned around and pushed my way up to the middle by Ruka between the two front seats.
Where are we going, Ruka?
Let's see how she handles, Deluxe said, pulling away and hitting the gas.
A test drive, Doofus. This is a test drive, Ruka told me.
Deluxe hit the gas and sent us flying back a little, then hit the brakes and sent us forward.
We got power and we can stop.
He drove us around a few left and right turns and over some railroad tracks twice that made the RV bounce around.
Should be able to handle Costa Rica, Deluxe said, jerking the wheels side to side.
We stopped at a store and got some food and snacks and then drove back to the warehouse.
That was weird driving her again, Deluxe said, backing into the spot outside the warehouse. How do you feel she'll do? Tess asked.
There's only one true way to find out. Let's leave after the party, he replied.
Party? I asked Ruka.
Yeah, Judd is holding the first annual Hoodstock Music Festival here, and Deluxe is gonna DJ.
What does that mean? I wondered.
The babes kept Ruka and I locked up all night in the RV while groups of people quickly started to fill up the inside warehouse and outside parking lot. Deluxe was on top of a big stage that was higher than the RV, making everyone who was outside dance. Tess would come back and check on us every now and then, and so would Deluxe. He would show me love when he saw me at the door, but I still wasn't sure about him, or Tess, and their plans of going to Costa Rica, so I just jumped in the front seat and waited. I'd still catch myself thinking about my first little friend back with my mom and how she was doing.
She's okay, Mom is keeping her safe, I thought while everybody outside was partying.
Come inside and check out what we did to her, Tess told some old man who followed them in the RV.
Well, hello, doggies, he said to Ruka and me as we sniffed him out.
Ooh, watch out for our ganja tree there on the ground, Tess said, motioning the man away from it, but he stepped right on it.
You call that a ganja tree? Ha! You should come to my house. I'll show you a ganja tree.
Oh, man, we spent months getting her all pretty.
I do apologize, the old man said after stepping on the plant.
Wow, this is the same RV you bought from DL?
Yeah, for $800 and he left me with a note saying it's mine.
Man, it was a piece of shit back then.
Nice work, the old man said, checking out the remodeling.
What do you think about him, Ruka?
No, what do you think, doofus?
He seems harmless.
He has a good energy about him.
I feel the same, Ruka told me. Not to mention, he smells like cats.
What are cats?